بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد. My dear respected brothers and sisters and our young brothers and sisters who are coming to the end of their spring holidays. One thing which is very useful in life is to have experience, to have a tajruba, an experience. It's very useful because it tells you what will happen if you do something in a particular way. And generally, once we've done something in a particular way and we've discovered its consequences, whether it's good or bad, then we react appropriately to that. We react appropriately to that. Most people, when they see that something is going to take them to a bad consequence and their mind is mature, they're sensible people, they're focused and concerned about their life and about where they're going in this life and in the hereafter, then they will stop doing the same thing if it's got a bad consequence. If it's got a good consequence, then it will inspire them to do more about that. Now let's take a simple example that if you're invited to smoke and you've never smoked before, you're 12, 13 years old and you're invited to smoke, to have a cigarette, because some of your friends have gotten into it. Either because they had older brothers who were not very responsible older brothers, who were not very thinking people, and they got their younger brothers into it, for example, or younger sisters into it for that matter, or older cousins who wanted other people to join them in their bad, so they got them into it. So now these people have got other friends and they're telling you to smoke. Now, if you go and ask any smoker who's been a smoker for about 5 to 10 years, right, go and ask any smoker, and this is a challenge, you know, to any young person who's contemplating smoking or has started smoking, go and ask any person who's done smoking for more than you've done, maybe even more than you've lived in this world, and ask them, give me your experience about smoking. Is this something you, if you went back 10, 20 years, that you should have done, enjoy doing, want to stop or want to carry on? And I guarantee you that the overwhelming majority, if not all of them, will tell you that it's a very, very bad thing. And I wish that this is something that I had thought about when I was 12, 13, 15, 17, 18 years old. But now it's too late because it has so infused with my system. It has become so strong within me. The urge is so great that once a smoker, always a smoker. This is just an example. This is just an example. What I'm trying to say is that if a young guy of 11, 12 years old, if he gets enough sense in his head to even go and ask a certain person, will they stop because of what they hear? They will stop if they've got some control over themselves. If they're not just followers, but rather they make their own decisions in a reasonable way. The problem that we have today, we've had all the way, really, is that some people are leaders and some people are followers. Most people are followers and some people are leaders. What I mean by that is that somebody is there always to set the trend. He's the one or she's the one that will start something because they have intelligence. These people are generally clever individuals. Their intelligence is just unfortunately diverted in the wrong direction. So they will start to think and they will come up with a new idea. They will see something and then they will get other people involved. And these other people are followers. This is both in adults and children. These are both in adults and children. There are most people are just followers. They will just follow whoever speaks the loudest, whoever seems to speak some sense, whoever seems to be enjoying themselves, whoever appears to be successful, they will just follow them. They'll also want to do the same thing without really thinking about it too much. And this is very important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants every one of us to think for themselves. Because the guidance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words, the Quran, is for everybody individually. It's not for one person and not for another person. It's for everybody. The hadith are the same. It's for everybody. It's not just for one person. One of the ulama mentioned, and there's actually a hadith as well, that is very similar to this. The meaning is that the worst of the people is the one who sells his hereafter for the sake of somebody else's dunya. To allow somebody else to enjoy this world, they sell their own akhirah. So although they're also getting some benefit and some pleasure, some fun out of doing whatever their leader is doing, the gang leader is doing, or their so-called best friend is doing, but really they're only doing it because their friend is doing it. Deep down, they feel very bad about it. They know it's wrong. They've heard it from their parents. They've heard it from others. Deep down, they just don't. They're not happy with it, but they have to conform to be in this group of friends, in this gang, with these brothers, or with these sisters, or with these group of girls or boys. That's the problem. What they're doing is they're destroying the rest of their life, if it's such an act like that, and they're destroying the hereafter because of somebody else's enjoyment in this world. Because the other person wants to be leader in this world, be the cool one in this world as such, and wants to have the biggest group of people to surround them, and conform with them, and go with them, and do things with them, he is essentially having them sell their hereafter for the sake of this world. The reason of this is many. I mean, if your parents, children, if your parents are telling you do this or don't do this, if you don't trust them, right? If you don't trust them, you don't think they know enough, then go and ask another adult, another decent adult. Go and find another older cousin, much, much older, right? Who seems to be reasonable, who seems to be settled. Go and find an older uncle, or a younger uncle, rather, right, that you can associate with. Go and ask somebody else that, look, this is the situation. My mom and dad, or my dad is telling me not to do this. My mom is telling me not to do this. What do you think? So if you don't trust your parents about it, go and ask somebody else that's old. But do not just take it off, because always your parents will have your best interest in mind. Your parents will have their best interest in mind. A lot of the time, though, you just won't understand it. And it is so strange. You can tell that, young people, when they're 12, 13, this is when they're just developing yet. They don't have all of the experience in front of them. They don't know everything yet. But they think they do. They think they know what's best for them. So they're willing to go to extents to do that thing. And sometimes if a third person is watching this interaction between a parent and a child, and the child is behaving in a way that they think they're so confident, they think they're so knowledgeable, they think they're so experienced, they think they know what's best, the other adult will be able to tell that this guy doesn't know it, and is so totally immature. But how do you get that through to the child? That's the struggle. That is the struggle in any community. It's not just a struggle today. It's a struggle anywhere. The only difficulty today is that we don't have community supervision. Whereas back in the days, whether in this country or other countries, most adults were decent and reasonable people. They would police the youth wherever they were. So they would feel obliged as a society demand, as a responsibility to correct somebody, to guide someone, to prevent something. But now you can't do that. People don't feel that they can do that. Even if a kid is messing around in the masjid, they won't tell somebody else's child, just because parents are not very tolerant. They don't like their kids to be told off by others, even if it's done in a decent way. Now, I do understand that some people don't know how to tell people off, right? I understand that. But a lot of the time parents don't like anybody because they think their child is the most is the angel of town and cannot do anything wrong. You know, there's been cases like where we've had to deal with that kind of a case. But talking to the young child, what you have to understand is that you're still growing. You're still developing. You haven't seen as much of the world as your parents have seen. And one thing I guarantee you, that you 12, 13, 15, 17 years old people, you will be more strict than your parents If your parents were not born in this country and they were born in another country, you will be more strict than your parents to your children when you grow up, because you will know much more about what goes on around corridors, in flats and other places than your parents do. You will know much more what goes on in the school toilets and around wherever. And you know, the second generation, those who are now parents, like myself, right? We are much more strict and obviously much more lenient in certain things. We've got more of a guided way of dealing with this because we know the culture that we were brought up in, so we know what that is. But my advice to the young people is that do not sell your hereafter for the sake of somebody else's world. And if you are the leader, you're leading people. You're the one who has the loudest mouth. You're the one who people follow. You've got a bigger responsibility. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who shows the right way gets the reward for everybody who follows that right way. So although they all get their individual reward for doing that right way, let's just say that you took a group, you encouraged some friends who would never go out in Jamaat, Tabligh, you encouraged them to go out in Jamaat just for 3 days. You said, look, it's going to be great fun, whatever, let's have a good time. Let's go, you know, with the excuse that it's for the deen, let's go. You know, you encourage them somehow, you go. You will get the reward of all the people that for every little subhanallah, every little tasbih, every salat, every moment they spend in the masjid, you will get that reward for it, and they will also get the reward. If you take five people with you, you will get five times the reward. You will get all of their rewards as well, and they will get their individual reward. Exactly like that, if you take somebody to the wrong side, and you're the encouragement, hey, you know, let's go out to this place today. Let's go and do this today. Let's go and, you know, do this to somebody's, you know, to somebody's property. Let's go and, you know, try this out. Or this haram, or this wrong. You get the sin of all of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, in Surah Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, I seek refuge with the Lord of the worlds, with the Lord of mankind, the King of mankind, the Sovereign of mankind. Ilahin Nas, the God of mankind. Min sharril waswasil khannas, from the evil of the one who whispers and then retreats. That's the shaitan. That's the shaitan, the invisible shaitan that you can't see. The one who whispers and then goes when you make dhikr and then he comes back. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas, the one that whispers into the hearts of people. Min al jinnati wan nas. Now this is the part I'm speaking about. From the jinn and from the humans. Which tells us that there are people like this, also from the human beings, that whisper to other people. What I mean by whisper is, like, come along, man. You know, come on. Aren't you going to come? What's wrong with you, man? You know, you're always being mummy's boy. You know, you're always being Sufi. You're always being, religious. You know, how do you become so holy and so religious? Come along as well. You know, otherwise, you know, you shouldn't be with our group. Come on, just try one. It's only going to be for this time. That's the kind of attitude that a human shaitan does. Do you want to be a human shaitan? That's the question you must ask yourself. Anytime we are telling somebody to do the wrong thing, whether it means creating an argument with someone, trying to start a fight with someone and wanting your friends to help you and join you just because of that, and to get in any kind of trouble like that, or anything bad, just what you're doing is you're just a shaitan manifest. I know I sound very bad about it, but that's just essentially what it is. Anybody that takes others onto the wrong path is a human shaitan. Maybe a mini or a major shaitan. But mini shaitans will become major shaitans. Tomorrow they'll do bigger things. Credit card theft. Because that's where you start getting the enjoyment from. That's where you start getting the enjoyment from. A friend of mine, Maulana, he works in a prison. After talking to many, many prisoners, he works in a prison that deals with young offenders. You know, teens, up to like 20 years old or something like that. What he discovered after speaking to many of them is that the biggest, he's asking, you know, throughout about the cause of why they're here. What brought them here? Most of them, across the board, blame their parents. Their parents were the cause of them going to jail. Right? Now you're probably thinking, yeah, my parents, because they tell me not to do stuff, so that's why they're going to be the cause for my going to jail. No, it's the other way around. The parents who didn't do anything, who were very soft with them, who let them do things and kind of weren't very strict with them, they're the ones who are the cause, who didn't have proper discipline, they're the ones who are the cause for their children to end up in prison. And then he gave me one example. He said there was one guy in there, he's in there for big theft. How he started? He started by going to somebody's house, and you know when you go to somebody's house, when children go to somebody's house, they see, you know, the toys, they're playing with the toys, with the other kids' toys in the house. And then when they want to go home, they normally try to take one, the ball or the toy or the car or whatever. They want to take it home. And the host family, they'll just say, let them go. Let them take it. It's okay. You know, we've got so many. Let them take it. Right? If the parents are not strict about this, then slowly, slowly, every time your child will want to take a toy. And the host family, out of embarrassment, they'll just take it. And the kid, their kid will be crying and they'll say, no, it's okay, I'll buy him another one, you just take it. So his mom never used to say anything and used to take, and started being bigger things, and then he started putting things in his pocket. And then eventually he started pickpocketing from the shop because he thought, once you get addicted to taking something that's not yours, you're getting it for free, the next time you'll want something bigger. So he started pickpocketing. Then his sister grew old enough to be able to go to school. He had to start taking his sister, and he said, that was the worst day of my life because now there was somebody that I had to, she's going to see me. But eventually he got his sister into it. So now his sister used to stand outside. He used to go and pick. He used to tell her, when I come in, you need to just run. So then they used to do that. Eventually they got caught in a mall now. Now it wasn't a local shop anymore. It was in a shopping mall that he'd stolen from a few shops. Eventually, when he was with his mother, one of the guards must have recognized him from the last time that he stole and disappeared, and then he got put into prison when all of that was that discovered. He is blaming his mother today. He is blaming his mother today for not being strict. So if your parents are strict, right, you think that they are unreasonably strict, then get another opinion. Go to another uncle or older person that is decent and ask them, look, this is how my parents are generally. Do you think they're too strict if you don't agree with your parents? But don't just pass them off, because I'm telling you from experience, and I'm not talking down to you. I'm literally telling you from experience that this is how things start. Once a smoker, always a smoker. It's difficult. That's why the reward of the one who preserves themselves when they are in their teens, when they're a youth, is as great as a person who is a just king, which is very difficult to be. Once you're a king or a ruler, it's very difficult to be just because you've got so much power, you can do whatever you wish. You'll justify abuse. It's so difficult to do things like give sadaqah it's so difficult to give sadaqah and not be proud about it, meaning not be arrogant about it, not boast about it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised seven individuals in this world that they will be in the shade on the day of judgment, when there will be no shade and the sun will be very close. People will be in a great state of agony, despair and misery, because it will be extremely hot, and depending on the amount of sins, that's how much sweat we will have. And there are seven people that Allah has promised, the Prophet ﷺ mentions, that will be in the shade on the day of judgment. These seven people, if you study each of these seven, which we don't have time to go into today, but I'm sure you've heard this hadith before and you could probably recall most of them, each one of them is an achievement. It's difficult for a youth to be focused on the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during their youth. It is so difficult. Because adults find it difficult to be constantly thinking about worship in even their adulthood. So imagine a youth. But if a youth does spend their time where they're going to school, they're going to madrasa, they're making their salah, they're concerned about these things, they have a good set of friends, they do enjoy themselves, they do go out, you know, to do things, and they do play a few games and, you know, sports and things like that, but they stick on the halal and the right, they don't get misled by people, they don't mislead others, they will be in the shade on the day of judgment. You can get what a king has to be just to get, just by being good in your youth. Because if you preserve your youth, your rest of your life will be preserved. Right? I know if that doesn't resonate with you because you're too young to just get it and you're just more interested in something else, try to understand it. Ask others with it for experience. There must be an uncle you have or someone who led a life similar to yours. Or the life that... You must know somebody older that led a life that you think you want. And ask them what is that life. What about all these people in prison? If only you could go and see them and talk to them and find out how they got there. Well, you might think, well, I'm going to be clever about it. I'm not going to get to prison. How do you know? Once you start getting into these things, it just becomes too difficult to control afterwards. Then your desire overtakes you. Your lust overtakes you. And then you become more bold. You become more careless and reckless, and you just start doing things, and eventually you end up in a place where you don't want to be. And that's why A few other things. In order to stay straight, be careful about using, be very careful and considerate about the things that are available out there to use. Re-question yourself. Ask people who know about whether things are good or bad. Try to get another opinion rather than just going there just because your heart feels good about it and you enjoy it doesn't mean it's halal. Doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's good for you. That is what you must be thinking about. So be careful about social sites. Stop uploading your pictures of things, because now people are not speaking to each other anymore. They're just sending pictures of themselves to each other, which the others translate into something. And this is happening with the boys and the girls. Remember, these things stay online for a very long time. And although you may have lost any sense of embarrassment and shame, you've gone beyond the stage where it feels bad to do this and you want to be careful about yourself, be careful about it. You can still get your life back. You can still get your modesty and your honor back. Don't give up your honor just because somebody else set up a system in which to give it. These systems can be used for the positive and for the negative. Be careful of how you use it. Be careful of how you use Facebook and all of these things. If you don't need an account, you don't need an account. You don't need an account there just to be cool about it. You don't want to be sitting in your room, your parents are there, and you are chatting with your friends while your parents are in the same room. That's a sign of the Day of Judgment. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a time will come when a person will distance his parents, but he will bring close his friends. And essentially you see that today, that you're living in the same house, you're sitting in the same room. You could be sitting around the same table in a marriage, in a wedding ceremony, and you're somewhere else with your friends while everybody else is sitting there talking about something else, but you're on your tab, you're on your phone, you're WhatsApping with somebody else, and your mother's saying something, your father's saying something. Subhanallah, it's a prophecy of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't be part of that prophecy. The prophecy is going to happen, people are going to do it, but you and I don't have to be part of it. You don't have to be part of it just because it's inevitable. Another thing is being good with your relatives. Being good with your relatives, that there's a great benefit in that. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever wants to have a longer life, a better quality life, and more sustenance and provision, which means more earning and good livelihood, then they should be good with their relatives. That auntie you must go and visit, believe me, it's valuable. To go and do that, you will get a better life. Eventually, you will get a better quality of life and you'll get more sustenance eventually. So it's not old-fashioned to do that. It is Islamic to do that, because you need to be close with your families. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. I would really suggest that if you've got no other good things that you're involved in, go out in jama'at. That's the minimum. Once, 3 days here, there and the other. And eventually that is one way you can stay strong. It gives you a boost of iman and it really helps. So you should do that. You should join any classes that take place in the masjid, bayans and lectures. You should go out to listen. It just happens once a week, once every 2 weeks. Go and benefit from that. This is the only way you'll stay strong and safe. And inshallah, you can have your fun as well, but you have it in an Islamic way. May Allah give you and I and everybody the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.